Take your Bibles with me, please, to the book of Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 10. I remember years ago reading this story, and the question that was really unanswered in my casual reading of the scripture was, why would God kill Aaron's two boys? I know what the text said, but it sort of left a little open space of what does that mean and why was God so angry and what could I learn from that? The Bible says in Leviticus 10 and verse 1, and Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. Well, the first thing you would say, well, God killed them because they did something he told them not to do. But how many things do we do in our lives that God didn't command us to do? And the little phrase, strange fire, that's what I'm focused on tonight. You look through the Bible and you see that word before a lot of important ideas. In the Old Testament, they went after strange gods. The Bible speaks of the strange woman in Proverbs. In Hebrews chapter 13, it talks about strange doctrines. Then, of course, applicable to our day, in the book of Jude, it talks about people going after strange flesh. And all of those things had terrible consequences, and so does this strange fire. And this was in worship. God killed two people that were in the line to be the high priest. They were the two oldest boys of Aaron. And so they're going to succeed Aaron to be the chief leader in the ways of God as far as the offerings are concerned and all of the communion with God and bringing forth into the holy place that which God required. These are two boys with very prominent positions, and God just, he dropped them dead. In the act of worship. And I got to thinking, you and I don't worship God or serve God how we choose. We are to serve and worship God how he chooses. You know, the Bible tells us that Jesus told him there at the one, he said that if you worship God, you have to worship him in spirit and in truth. You know, in other words, you don't just worship God like you want to. He's given the pattern and told us how we are to worship him. It's not something that we come up with or we contrive in our wisdom. He's given us the pattern of how we worship him. Same way with serving him. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews 12, he says, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. We don't even serve God how we wish. We serve him how he wants us to serve him. We serve him according to his pattern and his plan. I know everything in the Old Testament doesn't translate to the New, but I think there is a good principle that we can learn from Leviticus chapter 10. And the Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, that we're a holy priesthood. And we're to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. You know what that tells me? That tells me that all saved people, they're priests, but we can offer something to God that's not acceptable. Nadab and Abihu were priests, but they offered to God something that was unacceptable. And that occurred a lot of times in the Bible when people were approaching God, but not how he told them to. Cain was that way. It's not that Cain didn't bring anything before God. It wasn't acceptable to God. He didn't accept it. And there are reasons for all of that. And I don't want to just serve God the way I want to or worship Him the way I want to do what I do acceptably. I want my worship to be not a strange thing to God. I want it to be an acceptable thing to God. You say, what does that have to do with the New Testament? We understand the Old Testament, even in Malachi chapter 1, you know, they brought offerings to God, but they weren't accepted because maybe they were blemished and they didn't give God their best, and so He didn't take it. But here's what listen, Romans 12, I preached a message a long time ago. I said this is the answer for Christianity. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable. You know, and it's not acceptable if it's not holy. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We if we're saved, if you're saved, you're a priest unto God, and you ought to bring things that are acceptable to God. And one of that is your life, but it can't be brought. You know, we don't just get to bring our lives to God. We're supposed to bring them wholly to God. H-O-L-Y and W-H-O-L-L-Y. In other words, God's not just, He's not hard up. He's just not going to take anything, or He would have took this incense that they put in the curtain and He said, no, that's not the way I want it. I want it the way I told you that I wanted it. And of course, the next verse, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So I think this does have something to do with, and somebody said, well, God killed these people. He doesn't kill people. Now, He killed plenty of people in the New Testament. In the church. All you have to do, Ananias and Sapphira, they're post-resurrection with the Spirit of God in their body. And God drops them dead. The Corinthian church, they're dying in the assembly. Why? And it's in the middle of a worship service. Because what they were doing was not acceptable. It's not what God wanted. It wasn't the way He wanted. Now, let's read this story here. Leviticus chapter 10 and verse 1, the Bible says, "And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which He commanded them not, and there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord." You know what's strange about that? The previous chapter, you know what they've done? They've done exactly what Aaron's done, exactly what God's told him to do. He's brought the offering and the sacrifice to God. And you know what the Bible says in verse number 24, the last verse of chapter 9? It says, "And there came a fire out from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces." What a scenario. You got the verse before, fire coming down from God, consumed a sacrifice, and God is accepting what they brought, and they're shouting and they're praising God because God has demonstrated Himself. And in the very next verses, fire doesn't come down to accept but to reject, and there's no shouting, there's mourning. And the Bible says this, verse 3, "Then Moses said unto Aaron," this is that the Lord spake, saying, "I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me. And before all the people I will be glorified." And Aaron held his peace. You know, that's probably one of the most amazing phrases in your Bible. Two of his boys just were dropped dead by God Almighty. And He didn't say a word. I don't know what's happened in your life, but you know what I've met? I've met a lot of people in their life. Something happened in their family. Something happened in their life. And they began blaming God. And they began being bitter at God. And you know what a good lesson to learn from this passage is? When something like that happens, you just need to keep your mouth closed. Even if it's in your own family. Are you reading what I'm reading? Do you know how hard that is? I mean, what father wouldn't have said, God, why'd you do this? Or at least said something. And Moses said to Aaron, God is sanctifying himself before us. We've got to do the things the way God says, and this is the consequence of not doing it the way he said. And Aaron just doesn't say a word. But I'm still curious of why did he kill them? Look, hold your finger. We'll be right back and go to Exodus chapter 30. Well, it says strange fire. What does that mean? I don't really know what that means. It could mean a couple of things. It could mean they did not light the fire for the incense from the appropriate place they were supposed to. You know, that fire before the Lord was supposed to always be kept burning. Maybe they kindled their own fire. You know something about God? You can't work God up. You can't create, and I think that's what this new generation has tried to do. They've tried to create a God atmosphere when it ain't God. It's them creating the atmosphere. Have you ever been in a service where God's presence is so real, you got goosebumps? I mean, in Romania, they didn't call it goosebumps, they call it chicken skin. I don't know why that's what they call it. They got chicken skin. I've been in service where God was so real. I mean, my hair's standing up on the back of my head. I got goosebumps. You know what the world tries to do? Well, let's just fabricate that. You can't fabricate God. It doesn't matter what you do to try. And it won't be accepted. And maybe it was the fire. It could be something. Go back. Just go to Exodus now. Exodus 30 verse 1. We get introduced to that incense. Exodus 30 verse 1. And thou shalt make an altar to burn incense upon. Of shittim wood shalt thou make it. Drop down to verse 34. Exodus 30, 34. And the Lord said unto Moses, take unto thee sweet spices. Stocti, onca, and galbanum, these sweet spices with pure frankincense of each shall there be a like weight, and thou shalt make it a perfume, a confection, after the art of the apothecary, tempered together, pure and holy. And thou shalt beat some of it very small, and put of it before the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation, where I will meet with thee, it shall be unto you most holy. And as for the perfume which thou shalt make, ye shall not make to yourselves according to the composition thereof. It shall be unto thee holy for the Lord. Whosoever shall make like unto that to smell thereto shall even be cut off from his people. Isn't God very specific how he gives instructions? Now, God's not telling us what perfume to wear. He's not. But he's got plenty of instructions for us to follow. And, you know, I'd say this, a lot of Christians don't even try to look at the instructions of how God wants us to approach him to worship him. They don't even look at the pattern of the Bible. And here he says, if you're going to offer incense, I'm going to tell you how to make it. You're going to take one part of this and one part of that and one part of this and one part of that. And you're going to put it together, you're going to beat it down, and you're going to make a powder of it, and then you're going to light it on fire, and it's going to smell, and that's the smell I want. And I don't want you to make it. I don't want you to smell it in your house. I don't want that scent to be anywhere but right here before my throne. Now, I don't know what the strange fire was. Maybe these young boys said, you know, I don't like the way that smells too much. I think I want to put in a little bit of this. I mean, it won't matter if I put in just a little something different to make it smell different. Because, you know, it's got a unique smell. And let's just do something different. And if they did anything with that incense that was different, that would have been a strange smell to God. Because you see, that was not for them to smell, it was for God to smell. And I think this modern worship modern worship is not about what God is smelling, it's about what I'm experiencing. And I tell you what, guys, there is no generation of Christian people that are worshiping the way Christian people are worshiping today. Never in the history of Christianity. There's never been people up with guitars hopping up and down, beating their head like this, saying, "Yeah, Jesus!" Nobody's ever done that that's saved. Somebody just said, "Well, I think that would be good." Yeah, but what does God think about that? Is it for your enjoyment or is it for His aroma? What was the strange fire? Did they mess with the incense? Did they take the fire from somewhere else besides off the altar? I'm not positive, but God didn't like it. Maybe they had a better way, but it wasn't God's way. Sometimes the next generation, you know, Aaron knew he wasn't going to mess with it, but that next generation said, "Well, maybe we can do a better way. Maybe we can do something better with this." Are you listening to me? That's why that conference that's going on is so important. We don't want the next generation to think that there's a better way to worship God. We don't want them to think that there's a better Bible out there that they can invent, or there's better music, or there's a better lifestyle. No, we've got the goods. Christianity's always had the goods. The Bible's not changed. Holiness hasn't changed. The presence of God hasn't changed. It's not manufactured. So these two boys say, "Well, let's just do it a little different." You know, that's why God dropped Uzzah dead. You ever wonder why God killed Uzzah? You say, "Well, he touched the ark." Well, why did he touch the ark? They were carrying the ark in a way God never told them to carry it. God told them to put that ark on your shoulder and walk with it. But it's a lot easier to let the animals carry the load. You know what the Bible said about that? That was the Philistine way. Read it. The Philistines took God's ark and put it on, let the animals carry it. That's not God's way. We ought not worship God like the heathen do what they do. And it's harder to worship God. It takes more energy. It's harder on the flesh. And so they're riding along and it didn't work. And David got to reading his Bible. He said, "I've been doing that wrong. We're going to do it the way God told us to do it. To the very steps you're supposed to take." And Nadab and Abihu said, "You know, we're not going to do it like Dad." And so that incense, I think probably they messed with that. Now you said, why is that so important? Go back to, wait a minute, you're in Exodus 30. I want you to read verse 7 there with me. Exodus 30, verse 7, about that incense. He said in Exodus chapter 30, verse 7, just a minute, I'm in Genesis. He said in verse number 7, "And Aaron shall burn their own sweet incense." I like that. He said, I want that to be sweet smelling. You know, some people don't like sweet perfume. I remember the dumbest thing. Don't go and talk to her about it. One of the dumbest things I did when I first got married, I thought roses. Everybody loves roses, right? I bought my wife, when we first got, I bought her a perfume that smelled exactly like roses. But nobody in the world wore that perfume. And I thought, man, I've really done something great. I've given her this perfume that smells like roses. She said, "Where did you get this? Smells like a funeral home." But it was so sweet. But it was, ladies, don't you know, that perfume is not just all sweet, right? There's other scents in there. Well, I mean, I don't know anybody walks around with perfume that's, you know, like a honey bun. I got honey bun perfume. No, we want a little bit different aroma. I don't know how sweet smelling this was, but it was how God described His incense. It said in verse 7, "Aaron shall burn their own sweet incense every morning. When he dresses the lamps, he shall burn incense." Look at verse number 9. Look at the warning. "Ye shall offer no strange incense thereon." Does that sound familiar? So it was a sweet incense. Hold your finger and go to the Old Testament, go to Ephesians 5. Why did God drop these boys dead? Well, probably the wrong incense. He says in Ephesians chapter 5, watch the correlation in the New Testament of what this is. The picture of it. Ephesians 5 and verse number 2, the Bible says, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a what? A sweet smelling savor. You know, God Almighty, when Jesus died for our sins, God Almighty smelled something sweet. He had been smelling something putrid and bitter and dying of our sins for all of human history. And when His Son went to the cross and bore the shame and took our sin upon His back, amen, and died for every wicked thing we've ever done and satisfied the wrath of God and did it perfectly obedient, when He saw His sinless, spotless Lamb of God hanging on that tree, he smelled something sweet. He smelled the love that Christ had for us. He smelled the forgiveness of his that His Son had for us. He smelled the holy sacrifice that His Son had given for us and said, man, there's nothing that smells like that. And the only way that we can approach unto God is because that incense is put on there for us. You know, when that priest approached that holy place and approached the presence of God, he had to slide that scepter of that incense through that curtain, amen. And that incense had to fill that holy place. Because you know why? There was something smelly about Aaron. And there was something smelly about the priests. But when they put that incense in there, God said, just fill that place with that incense and I'll let you come on in. You know, brethren, there's something that stinks about all our lives, but through Jesus Christ, He smells a wonderful smell. But you know what you don't do? You don't mess with the formula. You don't mess with the way you get accepted by God. It's not through us. It's not through religion. It's just through Christ. And you know, when we get down to pray, the Lord's, boy, that smells good. Look at the incense of the offering of those prayers of the saints. Boy, that smells wonderful. You know why it smells wonderful to Him? Because the Bible talks in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 that Christ is in us. He's in us a sweet savor. And God smells something about His Son on us. And it's acceptable. But when He can only, if He just smells us, but if He smells His Son, you know what that reminded me of? Today I was in my office and I started shouting and Brother Mike said, preacher, what's going on in here? I said, I just got something. I was studying that right there. I was thinking about that. And all my brain went straight to Isaac. And in comes the old deceiver. Jacob comes into his dad and he wants a blessing, right? But Jacob's not the firstborn. But what did Isaac say? Smells like my son. And though this man was a deceiver, and though this man stole, and though this man was a hypocrite, when dad smelled the aroma of his son, the blessing came. You know what all of us are? We're just a bunch of Jacobs. We're a bunch of deceivers. We're a bunch of hypocrites. We're connivers. We're not what we ought to be. But if we can come to God with the smell of His Son, God, it smells like my son. Come on in. And if you mess with the perfume, you know what we're trying to be as a testimony to the world? We're trying to be an aroma of Jesus Christ to the world. Wonder what they're smelling. Are they smelling that walking in love? Are they smelling that sweet smell? I wonder how many of our Christian lives are a sweet smell. Guys, there's an aroma of our lives. It's at the house. It's at the workplace. It's at the church place. And you know, without that sweet incense, they would die. Look at Leviticus chapter 16. He told them that. He said, you walk in here without that sweet incense, you're dead. I think they had the wrong incense. I really do. He said in Leviticus chapter 16 and verse number 12, Leviticus 16, verse 12, and he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar before the Lord, and his hands full of sweet incense, beaten small, and bring it within the veil. And he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat. Amen. That is upon the testimony. Watch it. That he what? It may have just been it was the wrong smell and God said no. Doesn't smell like my son. Wrong incense. Go back to Exodus 30. Maybe. Get Exodus 30. And you were at Leviticus 16. Hold your finger there. We'll go back and forth right there. This is the second thing. Maybe it's this. What a heartbreak. Everybody shouting and then two boys are dead. Leviticus chapter 30, the Bible says in verse 7, as we read a minute ago, and Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning. Maybe it was the wrong person. Now these two boys, they're going to take dad's place one day. But wasn't time for that yet. Why did they get the idea they could go in there? In Leviticus, the Bible says in chapter 16, verse 2, you know, even Aaron had to watch how he took that incense within the veil. Though there was incense burned every morning on that Day of Atonement, he could only go into that holy place once. He says in chapter 16, verse 2, and the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron thy brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat which is upon the ark. What does it say? That he die not. Now, if God was going to kill Aaron for that, you think he'd kill his boys for that? For I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. Maybe they just got too big and they said, you know, we're going to do this one day, so it's not time, but maybe they got ahead of the will of God and they were the wrong person at the wrong time, but they said, well, we're priests too. We're going to go in. And it wasn't time. You know, God did do that to Korah, Dathan, and Abiram when they took censers and put incense and he opened up and swallowed them. Didn't matter about the Levitical tribe. Why? They're the wrong person for it. You remember King Uzziah? The one that Isaiah wrote about in the year that King Uzziah died. I saw the Lord high and lifted up. You know the story of King Uzziah? He was a good king, but he went into the temple to burn incense. Wrong person. And God struck him with leprosy till the day of his death. So maybe they just got too high and mighty for their own shoes and took something upon themselves that God had never given to them to do yet. I tell you something else I see. Aaron would go in there to burn incense by himself. Do you know both of these boys went together? There's no instruction for two people to do this. You say, what's the big deal, preacher? I tell you what the big... How does that respond to us? I tell you, when we start doing things the way we want to do them, instead of doing things the way God tells us to, we're in danger. It doesn't matter how little it is. We do it God's way or you get in trouble. Well, I think we know better. Old dad's an old fogey, old fuddy-duddy. He don't know what he's doing. Brother, you want to go with me? Yeah, we'll do it. Yeah, all right, let's go. They didn't come out. I'll give you this one. You might get Leviticus 16 and Exodus 28. I only got two left here. Maybe it was the wrong incense. Maybe it was the wrong person, wrong time. Get Leviticus 16. Now, when this goes on the internet, people that hate independent Baptists still make fun of me for what I'm about to say, but I'm just going to read it out of the Bible and you can figure it out. Leviticus chapter 16, watch this. He said, now by the way, there's three times he says that he died not in this passage about the priest with this incense. And or excuse me, in chapter 10, he said, lest he die, but I'm going to get to that in just a minute. Look at, before I get ahead of myself, chapter 16 and verse number 4. He shall put on the holy linen coat, and he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh. And he shall be girded with a linen girdle, and with the linen mitre shall he be attired. These are holy garments. Therefore shall he wash his flesh in water, and so put them on. Look at verse 23 of the chapter. And Aaron shall come to the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall put off the linen garments which he put on when he went in the holy place, and shall leave them there. And he shall wash his flesh with water in the holy place. Now look at Exodus chapter 28. Exodus 28 and verse number 40. Exodus 28 and verse number 40. The Bible says, and for Aaron's sons thou shalt make coats, and thou shalt make for them girdles, and bonnets shalt thou make for them. Boy, I'm glad I don't have to wear a bonnet today. Can you imagine me with a bonnet? Shalt thou make for them for glory and for beauty. 41. And thou shalt put them upon Aaron thy brother and his sons with him, and shalt anoint them and consecrate them and sanctify them, and they shall minister unto me in the priest's office, and thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness. Well, what's nakedness? From the loins even unto the thighs shall they reach. God says, you're going to come in here and talk to me. I want you to dress the way I want you to dress. Well, what if I don't? Look, verse 43. And they shall be upon Aaron and upon his what? Sons. That's who we're talking about. When they come in unto the tabernacle of the congregation, or when they come near the altar to minister in the holy place, that they bear not iniquity and die. Anybody reading the same Bible I'm reading? It shall be a statute forever. What if Nadab said, I tell you what, I'm going in there with shorts today. Come on. I don't know, but I'm finding places in the Bible says, if you come this way, you die. If you don't put on, what if Abihu said, I tell you what, I ain't wearing that bonnet today. Right? I'm not putting it on. I'm tired of everybody our age making fun of me for the way I dress for God. And I'm not wearing this today. What about you, brother? Me neither. And they walk in and they're not wearing, they got the wrong clothes. Dead. It's in the Bible. I don't know if it was the wrong, just the wrong incense. I don't know if it's the wrong person, wrong time, but it could have just been the wrong clothes. Now, you think God's not interested in the way you dress? He is. Because you're a priest. And you represent God. Just thank God you don't have to wear bonnets. Amen. Thank God you don't have to look like an Amish person. But bless your heart. Cover up your flesh. He dropped people dead for that came into the tabernacle. Amen. Wrong clothes. Go to Leviticus 10. Leviticus 10, three times. I'm about finished. He said, die, die, die. Lest he die. And that's right after, I think Leviticus 10 coming right after, or excuse me, Leviticus, yeah, chapter 10, that comes right after this story and tells three times lest he die, I think is a warning that had to do with what happened in this story. And the first thing he says, look at verse number 6 of Leviticus 10. And Moses said unto Aaron, watch it, and unto Eleazar and unto Ithamar his sons. Uh-oh, you know what Moses says? We got to stop the dying. Because you got two boys left, and we want to save them. Amen. Don't emphasize the ones that got lost. Concentrate on the ones you can save. and make sure they get the right instruction so they don't follow their older brothers. And Moses said unto Aaron, and unto Eleazar, and unto Ithamar his sons, uncover not your heads, neither rend your clothes, lest ye die. You know what he just told them? Don't take off your bonnet. Don't take off those priestly garments. Now, they did that normally in the Jewish culture. When somebody died, they were mourning them. You know what God was telling them? God was telling them, my service and honoring me is more important than what's going on in your family. You've had a tragedy in your family. We've got tragedies everywhere. Don't let that affect what God wants you to be. Keep your bonnet on. Now, somebody's going to cry, but you're in leadership. Don't keep reading. Verse 6. Lest you die, and lest wrath come upon all the people, but let your brethren, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning which the Lord hath killed. He said, let the rest of the congregation cry for them, but you stay where you are. Keep your clothes on. Then he said in verse number 7, and ye shall go out from the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Excuse me. And ye shall not go out from the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. What? Lest ye die. For the anointing oil of the Lord is upon you. And they did according to the word of Moses. So he tells them three times, lest ye die. He said, don't leave the place you're supposed to be. Keep the clothes on that you're supposed to have. I know this is a tragedy, but don't you become a casualty. You stay in the house of God. Can y'all not see that beautiful picture? How many people have seen a tragedy and they leave the house of God and then they become a casualty? He said, stay right where you are or you'll die too. And keep the priestly garments on or you'll die too. He's not finished. And this is where I think we'll tie the rag on the bush and be done. He said, and the Lord spake unto Aaron, verse 8, then verse 9, watch it. I don't think this is an accident. This is the instructions right after this tragic event. Do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when ye go into the tabernacle of the congregation. What does it say? Lest you die. Could it have been these two boys were swapping some drinks before they went in? I know it's religion, it's holy, it's God stuff, but you know, we can live this way outside of here. Let's just hit a few shots here, brother. We'll go on into church. Why God would point those three things out right after he killed those two boys, I don't think any of them are coincidental. Maybe it was the wrong lifestyle that these boys had. And I know one thing God cannot tolerate. He can't tolerate a hypocrite. And if you're drinking back there over with the buddies, and you think you can go into the temple and you can pick up a censer and you can start worshiping God and you can be one way in the church and another way out there with your buddies, God says, you're going to die for that. Not interested in that. So quit your drinking. Right. You're going to come see me? Quit your drinking. I think those are good lessons. That helped me anyway. I don't have a problem with drinking, but I got problems with other stuff. So do you. You know what we need to do when we approach God? We need to get rid of whatever it is. And then we can come to God and have fellowship and communion. It can be sweet. But this duality and this double life and this hypocrisy, it just stinks to high heaven. And God says, I'm not putting up with it. You're dead. Next two up. Y'all going? Can you imagine if you're the next two up? I tell you what, I bet Ithamar said, I tell you what, I ain't drinking when I go in there. And I tell you what, I've never seen a prettier bonnet in my life. I'm going to fall in love with this bonnet. Because it's more important for me to meet God than me to have it my way. And maybe the smell is a little different to me, but if what's God want, I'm not messing with God's stuff. Amen. Hallelujah. And those two boys went on and did a good job.